It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Philippians as we continue the study through this precious book. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 7 through verse 9 today. So if you'd please open your Bible so that you can follow along. And while you're doing that, I'm going to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's good to have you with us today. I hope that you enjoy the study of the precious Word of God. Now, if you found the place in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin to read with the 7th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I ask that you would guide and lead us through your precious word. We always need your leadership completely and totally. We need to be able to follow after your will and way, and first of all, we need to know what that is, and then immediately upon coming to you and trusting in you as our Savior, then begin this precious, sweet walk. And as we walk each and every day to follow you and we make you our master of our life, that we may have the joy and the blessings that you want to give us. Now, Father, I ask that you would give us those and we be obedient to follow you and be a good servant to your will and to your way. Please, Lord, that we follow you so closely. Now, please show us your word today, that we may know your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these words here in the 7th verse, down through the 9th verse, last week when we closed, why we spent most of the time concerning the circumcision and baptism and the relationship between the two, and at the same time the desire for man to always add works to the power of God. They always want to think they had something to do with saving themselves or with keeping themselves. And you know, everything is given to us from God. We need to praise Him and honor Him, and we need to walk each day in service unto Him and not taking any of the glory for ourselves. Any accomplishments that we've had, we need to give the praise unto the Lord and the honor unto the Lord. And it's so easy for us, though, to, if we come to the Lord Jesus and be saved, and of course you know how important that is unto me, and that is that you come to Jesus and be saved today. It's so important that we trust in the Lord Jesus, that we walk unto the Lord Jesus. And you know, if you don't understand what I'm saying here, I'm going to take just a few minutes before we start the study, and that is that, first of all, you need to become a child of God. You need to become a Christian. Now, many times when people are good folks, and there are many folks that live a very moral, a very clean life, they're good folks. There are folks out there that are very religious, that never miss church, would never be out of the church. Every time the church doors open, they're there. There are many different kinds and classes of people, but every person needs Jesus. To whether you're a church member or you don't have never stepped foot in a church or you just go on occasion, you need the Lord Jesus as the person that attends the church every time the door opens. They too need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, how you receive that relationship is to come by faith unto the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I can live. He went to that cross so that all of our sins can be taken away. Now, I ask you today that you come unto Jesus, that you trust in Him. Come by faith and have your sins taken away, wiped clean, and you can begin that precious, sweet walk of knowing Jesus and walking after Jesus. It's just like knowing a friend and walking with a friend. And you know, when that friend isn't talking to you, that friend isn't visiting with you, there's not any fellowship there. Well, it's the same way and same relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. When we're not talking with the Lord Jesus, when we're not fellowshipping with Him, He's living God. And He is my friend. And I love to visit with Him. I love to fellowship with Him. I love to praise Him because He is God. Now, I hope that you know my Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus today, I want you to come and ask Him into your heart today that you can begin this sweet, wonderful walk in the Lord Jesus. There's not a greater joy that you'll find than the day that you come to know Jesus and walk in the Lord Jesus and receive His blessings. But you know, as folks are saved and come to know the Lord Jesus, instead of following closely the Word of God, instead of staying in the truth, they begin to add. They begin to put in their own little arrangement of what they believe we should be doing. And many times when we can come up with a great idea, well, then we can kind of pat ourselves on the back and think we've accomplished something, and so that makes us important. We kind of like to do that. We kind of like to be important. We don't like to be in the background. We want to be up front where everybody can see us and see what we've accomplished. That's not the way or the walk of the Lord Jesus. The way and the walk of the Lord Jesus is a very humble walk. It's a very quiet walk. But it is a very, very sweet walk. We have man again as they want to, as you and I want to add to and change the Word of God. It's very important that we come back to the Word. And we find out what the Word tells us. Well, we find here in the seventh verse, number one, in earlier than that, why he was discussing, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. And as we took care of that and discussed what the Word tells us of those things, then we come down to verse 4 and found that Paul knew from the leadership of the Holy Spirit there should be no confidence in the flesh. And boy, there's a hard one for us to learn, because we think we're worth something. We think we're very valuable. Well, we're not. And we need to go into the Word of God and search the Word of God and study the Word of God and understand, no matter what our credentials, whatever our title may be, we are nothing. And we need to come to Jesus and be saved so that we can become something in Jesus, not of our own, but of the Lord Jesus and His power. Paul gave us the list then in verse 5 concerning who he was, circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Oh, Paul was the perfect church member. He was the perfect church member. But now we're going to jump down to verse 7, and he tells us, but what things were gained to me, those I count as loss for Christ. You see what happened when Jesus moved into Paul's life? His priorities changed. Now that's the way it should happen to every person that comes to Jesus. Their priorities should change. And sometimes, again, once we become a believer in Jesus Christ, because we are not visiting with the Lord, because we're not fellowshipping with Him, because we're not in His precious Word to know His way and will, that's why we begin to change. Oh, I know a lot of folks that study, spend an awful lot of time studying, but they don't study the Word. They study books about the Word. They've got libraries full. They purchase book after book, and they read that book. I wish they'd throw that book away, burn that book, and come back to the Word of God and study and ask the Holy Spirit, if they're truly saved, ask the Holy Spirit that lives within your heart. That's what happens the day you're saved. God comes to live within you by the person of the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit lives within you, He'll guide and lead you through the Word. And I am here to testify that that's true. That you can look at His Word and study His Word and enjoy His Word and fellowship over His Word and learn His Word. But only because of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. The Holy Spirit draws you unto salvation, to be saved, to come to the Lord Jesus, and then He moves right in and you enjoy a sweet fellowship and walk. But as people ignore that walk and ignore that fellowship and continue to kind of add things to their own life, add things to their church, add things to the doctrine, and you hear so many things of what takes place. And one of those terms that you hear quite often, the Lord helps them that help themselves. We've been talking about that around here a little bit the last few weeks, and maybe you don't realize that that's not a scripture verse. The Lord helps them that helps themselves. Now, God tells us in His Word that we have to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that's pretty clear. That's what His Word says. I trust His Word. I walk after His Word. But that verse, that part, those words are not in there. The Lord helps them that help themselves. The Lord helps those that surrender their lives unto Jesus and begin that precious, sweet walk, walking each day. I don't know what your need is, whether it's a physical need, a financial need. I don't know whether I don't know what your need is, but I do know that you have a spiritual need. And we worry about our physical need and our spiritual and our financial need, but many times we ignore our spiritual need. And that spiritual need can only be filled, that void can only be helped and filled by coming to Jesus and trusting in the Lord Jesus. And if you will take care of your spiritual need, it's not long that you can begin to walk and enjoy the physical and financial. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to give you perfect health, and I'm not saying that God is going to bless you financially so that you can become a million or a billionaire, because that's not in the Word of God. There's many promises of financial gain and blessings of that sort, even health blessings. We're studying the book of Deuteronomy right now on Wednesday night, and it's promising those things if the Israelites will follow after. If they'll follow after God, stay true to God and His ordinances, here's what I will give you. And it was not only financial gain, but it was also health. Now, that was a promise to the nation of Israel. That's not a promise to us. The promise to us is that we will have peace. And I'm here to tell you that if you have peace and joy in your heart, that financial burden, it doesn't control you. It doesn't get you down. Things are not so important. Things are very important to people, aren't they? Well, you'll find that to change the day you meet Jesus, because you'll find that those things didn't bring peace and didn't bring joy. But I tell you that Jesus will bring peace and joy. Now, how much money do you want to try to spend to find this, to be satisfied, to be at peace with yourself and with God? How much money do you want to spend to do that? Well, you can spend all the wealth of the world, and you can't find peace in Jesus until you come humbly to Him. Surrender your heart and your life, and He'll give you peace and joy, something that you've been trying to buy and trying to do through all your little ways and all your activities. And whether it's been on the golf course or on the river in a boat or whatever, a big place you bought at some resort area that you thought, boy, finally I've got something now. I can go down there and I can rest and I can have peace and it'll be just fine. No, it won't. Not if you're trying to do all those things without Jesus. Paul says, but what things were gained to me? And he held this position, and what a list. He filled the law completely, as much as man could. And he was even a Pharisee. He was at the top of the religious ladder. He was at the top. He had everything. But what things were gained to me? And this was all accomplishments that Paul had brought on himself. He had worked very hard. This wasn't natural. Yes, he did hold with the proper position to be of the stock of Israel, circumcised the eighth day, and of the tribe of Benjamin. Those things he was born into, and it was taken care of by someone else concerning the circumcision the eighth day. But then he was a Pharisee. That now made him the top of the ladder. But he says, I count all these things but loss for Christ Jesus. You know, as we go back, and what happens to us, we become kind of puffed up a little bit. Now, last week I read this, but it was just at the very end, and so we're going to read through Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read from 9 through verse 14, Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto to certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Sounds like a lot of folks that you know, doesn't it? There were two men went up into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. Now, I've described the Pharisee for you. The Pharisee is the one that is the head of the world, so to speak, religiously. I mean of great strength and power and authority and very smart, schooled, been to seminary, if you would call it that, to college and on to seminary, could quote many Old Testament scriptures and knew the Word of God, knew it very clearly. The problem is it didn't live it and didn't believe it. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you're that religious Pharisee. Or maybe you're that publican. And let's see what he has to say about the publicans. And again, verse 10, and two men went up into the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. A publican was, you could look up and you'll find that to be a tax gatherer. It was one that the Roman government would use as a local boy, you might say, a man that lived in the community. And so being a Jew, but he would collect taxes for Rome. And so not only was he, probably in most cases, the publican was a thief, because he would get some for himself, more than he should, while he was gathering these taxes for Rome. Plus the people hated the control that Rome had. That's one thing that they looked, when the Lord Jesus came upon this earth, they were looking for a king, they were looking for someone that would take away the Roman control. They wanted a king again. Well, Jesus didn't come to be the king this time when he came and lived here on earth the first time. He came the first time to seek and to save those that are lost. And many people, in particular these Pharisees, didn't see anything they had need of other than someone to get us out from under the rule of Rome. And many times that's today. We don't see our need. We don't realize that we're lost in our sin and we're dying in our sin. Now, if we have a physical problem, and that physical problem is something that is taking us to the hospital many times, going through many treatments, things like that, we see a physical need there. We must get to the doctor, and we must listen to the doctor, and we must follow the medication that doctor tells us to take, and we must follow the diet that doctor tells us to follow, and we must exercise like the doctor tells us to exercise. We see those needs, but we're very blind, and Satan accomplishes that. We are very blind to our spiritual need, which is much more serious than our physical need. If we would spend as much time in caring for our spiritual body and our spiritual life as we do our physical, we would be very powerful witnesses. We'd be very strong, and we would have a great peace and a joy in our heart every day that we walk if we would just trade one for the other. But we don't seem to do that. Now here we have, again, this Pharisee, which is a religious ruler and of great power and of great education. We got a publican, the one that is on the total end, opposite end, one that's hated, one that's despised because of his position and because he's probably also a thief, because most of them were. They would steal from the people, and the people had no choice but to pay this tax, and he would collect this tax. And then he would give a portion to Rome, and then he would keep a very large portion. Normally, these publicans, they were rich people because they would steal and thief. Zacchaeus, if you remember in the scripture, he was, as a child, you probably sang that little song, but he was a publican. He was a tax gatherer, a tax collector. And so here's the two different people. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And they must have been standing kind of together. And he went down through this list, and he looked at that poor man, and he said, I'm not as he is. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. But he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that today would be the day that you would move from being a Pharisee to a publican,
to a thief if it'll bring you to Jesus. And this publican saw his place, he saw his position, and he realized that he was worthless. And he needed a Savior. And he was not proud as the Pharisee was proud. He was very humble, and he couldn't even look up with his eyes unto heaven. He just looked down and said, "Oh, please, Lord, please have mercy on me." Will you come to Jesus today? And will you ask him to have mercy on you? I'm afraid most people today, and maybe you're one of them, are just like that Pharisee. You're so educated and so prideful. And you look around and you look down on these people. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like they are. Well, in this case, this publican's a lot better shape than what that Pharisee is. Because he knows Jesus. He knows who he is and the need he has for Jesus in his life. Please that you come to the Lord Jesus today and be saved. I tell you, in verse 14, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. We're not thinking right, are we? We're thinking backwards. Back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. You realize that Paul had literally went from being a Pharisee to being a publican. He went from the top of the religious ladder to the bottom of the religious ladder as far as the Jews were concerned, as far as the church was concerned. I ask that you get off your high horse and come down and meet Jesus. Realize that there's nothing in you that's good. Oh, you may be a very fine person. You may be a very moral person. You have to have Jesus, because the sin that you were born into and the sin that you've lived in needs to be taken away. And the only way it can be taken away is to come to Jesus. Paul thought there was another way, but he found out there was not another way. The only way was to come to Jesus to get the sins taken away and have that freedom. He tried it the other way. It didn't work. It didn't work. He tried the other way. He goes on to tell us here in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Here's a man again that is very educated, a man that is very smart. But he realizes the problem that he had being a Pharisee. It was fake. It was phony. I'm going to ask you once again, is that where you're at today? Do you go to church faithfully? Do you work very hard around church? But this Jesus you don't know? You need to come to Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. You need to come to the place and understand what Paul understood. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 6, to the 12th verse. Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. Let's find out the condition that we started. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." That's the condition that we're in before we come to Jesus. This old earth is still corrupt. So if you're trying to find your wealth and your power and your satisfaction from this old earth and this old world, you know, that's what a lot of them do. They go back to nature and they say, you know, in the trees and in the birds, I can see God. Well, God created it all, yes. But you can't see him there. You know, you need to come to Jesus. Don't try to worship a tree and think that that's the same as worshiping God. Now, God can use those things to draw you close to him. He can use those things to help you grow and to come closer to the Lord Jesus, but not in the purpose and the way of worship and praise. And we've got many folks today that worship nature. They worship the creation, but not the Creator. And the Word of God tells us that happens and that's taken place and has from the beginning. that people spend more time in praise and worship and service unto the creation and not the Creator. Please that you come to the Creator, the Lord Jesus, today. Realize that everything around you, including you, is corrupt. And you need a Savior. And you need someone to set you on the path of righteousness. Isn't that what Paul tells us here? Let's jump down very quickly to 9 and we'll come back then. And be found in verse 9, Philippians 3, 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. I hope that today you've realized that your righteousness is not enough. I hope that you see today that you need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, that you're not depending on all these other things that many people depend on, their church, many people depend on their lodge, all the good works and things that they do. There's so many different places and ways that men try to satisfy themselves. But I need to help you understand and see the Word of God that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to come to Jesus today and be saved. You need to walk after the Lord Jesus. For whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Now I want you to be one of those. I want you to come to Jesus today and be saved and begin that precious, sweet walk. Or you as this Pharisee, you don't even see your need. He said, Larry, I go to church. I don't need that. Yes, you do. Or you say, Larry, I don't go to church. I've never believed that. Well, that doesn't make it any less true. It is the truth. It's the Word of God, whether you deny it or not. And what's going to happen to you, my friend, if you do not listen to the Word of God? The truth, the power, and the presence of God is telling you through His Word that you're a lost, condemned sinner, and you're going to die, and you're going to spend eternity in hell. Now, maybe you've fought much sickness. Maybe you've went through a terrible financial burden. Maybe you went bankrupt, and it's been a terrible life. Well, this is nothing compared to what's going to be in hell if you don't come to Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. You need to walk after the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse 63. It tells us that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. You need to come to the Lord Jesus to find life. You have not, you know, all the advertisements today and everything, you've to live life to the fullest, and you drink this kind of alcohol, or you eat this kind of food, or you exercise at this certain place, or you buy this certain piece of property, and well, that makes you full and complete. Well, the Word of God tells us that the only way that you can be complete is in Jesus Christ. And that is by the Spirit, and it's a spiritual problem. I don't care what kind of condition your health is in. We're not talking about a physical problem. I don't care what kind of condition that your business is in or that your bank account is in. We're not talking about a financial problem. We are talking about a spiritual problem, and that spiritual problem is your heart. Now, the others can be taken care of, and you'll have peace with the others. However you have to work them through or whatever you go through, you can have peace if you come to Jesus. So you need to take care of the spiritual problem. And there's one sweet way, and that's Jesus. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?